for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This is Back to the Future, we've called this. And this morning, your kingdom come. Kingdom come. I'm going to read the first 14 verses of the book of Acts. And let's pray as we come to God's word, shall we? Father, thank you for your living word. Thank you that you have sent this word to us, that it may feed us and inspire us and equip us to be your people in these days. Help us, Father, to hear the prompting and the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, energize us, equip us, stir us once again with the truth. Lord, you are the Savior. You sent your Spirit. You've given us your word. And Lord, there is a lost town. There's a lost nation out there. Lord, help us to hear what you are saying to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So Acts 1 from verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. The implication being that Jesus began to do and teach those things, and he is continuing to do and teach those things in and through God's people by the power of his Holy Spirit. The story of Jesus has not ended. It did not end with the New Testament. It did not end with his ascension. We know that. So we want to be part of Jesus' story, don't we? All that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them. He's alive! He's alive! He's alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wonderful. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still weren't getting it, were they? And he said to them, it's none of your business. That's basically what you said. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but this is your business. This is your business, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up with a cloud, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, you just imagine them, you know, they're gazing and gazing and gazing and looking and looking and thinking, well, where's he gone? Is he going to do a U-turn? Is he going to land back? Is he, what's happening here? No, he didn't do a U-turn and land in America, as the Mormons falsely tell us. He went to the right hand of the Father, of course. But as they were gazing, two men stood by them in white robes, angels, and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, about a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not the one who betrayed him, Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. God's word is wonderful, isn't it? Kingdom come. Kingdom come. I've named this whole series in the book of Acts, Back to the Future, because I believe, and I'm sure you must believe as well, that we as Christians, as believers, need to be continually rediscovering from God's word what God intends us to be as a church and as a people in the 21st century. We have to reconnect and we have to rediscover and we have to get our identity and what we are and who we are from God's word and then go out and demonstrate that to the world that this is who we are. So we're going back to the future. We go back to the Bible to enable us to go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the book of Acts, the church in the book of Acts was certainly not perfect in any way, shape, or form, but they were a people who were filled and surrendered and were dynamically used by God to revolutionize their city and beyond in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need the foundation and the fire. We need the word and the Spirit. Verse 3 says this, that Jesus presented himself alive to them after his sufferings, after the cross, by many proofs, appearing to them over during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, the resurrected Jesus took and gathered his disciples, spoke to them for 40 long days, specifically about the kingdom of God. That's significant. That's clearly significant. Because if Jesus is going to spend 40 days speaking to his disciples, he is going to speak to them about the most significant things that they need to know about. And what did they need to know about? They needed to know about the kingdom of God. Jesus almost always referred to the kingdom as the active reign and rule of God. Not the realm of God, but the rule and reign of God. You see, there's a tendency for us, when we think of a kingdom as a place. The region of Fife in Scotland is still referred to as the Kingdom of Fife. Don't ask me why. It has no king, and believe me, it's not very royal or regal, but it does have a beautiful coastline and some really good fish and chip shops. But it's not a kingdom. So we tend to understand a kingdom as a land with geographical borders and boundaries, a realm. But if we study the teaching of Jesus on the kingdom, it's almost never the meaning. Jesus not only taught about the reign and rule of God, he clearly and powerfully demonstrated that kingdom. He showed that that kingdom had arrived. The kingdom of God is something that comes. It invades. It advances. It spreads. It has forward momentum. It plunders and it destroys the kingdom of darkness. That's what the kingdom is. That's what the kingdom does. It's not a place, a geographical location. It's a spiritual dynamic that moves. You read the teaching of Jesus on the parables of the kingdom. And one of those parables is this. You take a little leaven and you mix it through the dough. And Jesus says, the kingdom's like that. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And it spreads. And it permeates. And it soaks in. And it changes the very essence of what it touches. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's what it's like. It invades. It takes over. Also, Jesus said that we need to understand the kingdom of God as specifically God's active saving reign. We sang it this morning, didn't we? In his kingdom, broken lives are made new. Is that wonderful? Encourage me this morning, will you? Will you encourage me? Because you know what? I'm feeling like I'm hitting like a glass ceiling somewhere. Honestly, listen, folks, this is the, I'm trying to share my heart. I'm trying to say and stir you. I'm trying to point you to God's word. I'm trying to make you to connect with what God is doing. Our lives become so boring and predictable. When we're surrendered to Jesus, it becomes different. It becomes alive. He leads us to people that we would never go to. We have conversations with people we would never have conversations with. We come out of our little hidey hole and we connect with people. And he does his work. But his kingdom will come. But it won't come just blobulously. It'll come through you and me, through us. So I'm not just preaching a sermon this morning because it's Sunday morning and we tick a box and we go home. I want us to dynamically meet with the Holy Spirit in this place this morning to be changed, because we need to be changed. Because this city, this town, this nation needs to be changed. And we have believed a lie that says from the devil himself, people don't want to know. Things can never be changed. Look at this, look at that, look at the other. And we've believed that. And you know what? How I know that we've believed that? Because for the most part, we're silent. For the most part, we're inactive. And you say, well, I'm not. Well, good, fantastic. You are one. There may be two, there may be five, there may be 10. But we look at the church. We're wanting to do this together. To be an active church, an active people. And I'm shouting this morning as I usually do, but my heart is breaking. My heart is breaking for the church, for us to awaken. We are a sleeping giant. We're a sleeping giant. We have the Spirit of God within us. Jesus loves us. He cares for us. He has anointed us. He has given us this great and good promises. He has given us everything that we need to live lives that are productive and effective and fruitful as we believe in him and as we engage with him. So people of God, I'm pouring out my heart to you as best I know how. And all I'm asking you to do is somehow along the line, catch something of what God is saying to us this morning. Because he is on the move. We've prayed for years, Lord, will you move? Will you move? Will you move? Well, all the time, you know, God's saying to us, well, will you move? Will you move? Will you move? We prayed for years, Lord, will you speak to this person? Will you speak to that person? Will you speak to the next person? Lord, will you speak to them? And back comes the echo. Will you speak to them? Will you speak to them? Please, will you speak to them? See, we want God to do what he's called us to do. He's called us to do these things. Now, it's impossible for us to convert anybody. It's impossible for us. But you know, when God is touching and moving on somebody's life and that apple falls into your hand, it's the easiest thing in the world. It It's like you're watching God do something that you cannot do. It's the easiest thing. Can you catch? Can anybody? Just to catch. God's not asking you to create an apple. He's asking you to catch one. That's all. That's all. Do you have, some of you have friends and family who have moved away from Ballymoney and they're living somewhere else in another town, in another place. Is that right? And do you ever pray and say, Lord, oh, Lord, I just really pray that my daughter, my son, my father, whoever it is, I just really pray, Lord, that you'll send Christians to speak to them. You ever pray that? Well, you know what? Think about it. And you're praying, Lord, just send a Christian along. Make them connect with a Christian. Let them get into a conversation with a Christian. Lord, they need you. Please. I'm here. They're there. Send a Christian. There are people living in Ballymoney here, aren't there? You know what? There are people and their family and they're living in other places and they're praying that very same thing. Lord, will you send a Christian to speak to them? Lord, will you cause them to connect up with a Christian somewhere? Please, Lord, they need to hear your voice. So if we're praying for something, for somebody in our family who lives somewhere else, and we could see that those Christians are just not going to ever do that. How discouraging would that be? But if we could see that there are Christians there who are active, it's like, wow, yes, they'll talk to them. If we could see with the eye of the Spirit and say, yes, those people will go. Those people will share. Those people will put literature into their hands. Those people will give them an opportunity to come to Jesus. We'd be delighted, wouldn't we? Well, God says, you are that man. You are that woman. You are that boy. You are that girl who I want to use to talk to people in this place. What a privilege. What a joy that God has. So God's kingdom is a kingdom that's active. It's a kingdom that's moving. It invades. The kingdom of God is never static. It's never a monument. You know, I've always thought of the Elam movement in terms of a movement. Yeah? That's the language we use. The Elam movement. Well, if the Elam is a movement, it means it's moving. Unless it gets stuck and it becomes a monument. It becomes a monument to the past. How we've always done it. Oh, and what we did in the glory days of yonder. Well, hallelujah. We are here because we're standing on the shoulders of giants and we are here with this great facility with no debt on it whatsoever. Praise God for the previous generation that came. And that lived and that sacrificially sown into what we have now. And we honor you. If you're an older generation Christian in this church, this is your church. You have sown into it. You have worked in this place and you have given us this. But it's not only just handing the baton on. You're still part of what God's doing here. So if we are a movement, we need to be moving. We need to be going forward. We need to be going out. We need to be maybe even getting healed ourselves. That God would heal us and just deal with us and revive us and restore the joy of our salvation in Him and understand that, oh, there's a living reality and He's close to us and He does answer prayer and He is alive, and I am happy to be a Christian, and it is great to be saved. Isn't it? But you know, there's such a downward pressure because there's also such a thing as called the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of this of darkness is pressing down. Pressing down. upon the church, pressing down upon you, pressing down, trying to keep you down, trying to keep us silent, trying to keep us ineffective, trying to keep us disconnected from those who don't know Jesus. But what did Jesus say? It's time for the prince of this world to be cast out. To be cast out. When Jesus invaded this world, he came and he said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom has come among you. Oh, hallelujah. Not even the hand. If I, by the finger, you ever have a school teacher or a parent? Just the power of the finger. Oh dear, they're pointing at me. Just by the finger of God, Jesus invades. He plunders the kingdom of darkness. And he has translated us from the domain, the dominion of that downward pressure, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his Son. And that's who we are. We are sons and daughters of the King, of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. And you know what? He has called us to walk with dignity as sons and as daughters. Because that's who we are. Not arrogant or brazen, but with dignity and boldness. Do you know who you are? Do we know who we are? We're sons and daughters of the living God. We are princes, princesses in the kingdom. If you're the son of a king, what does that make you? It's awesome, isn't it? So God's kingdom, and Jesus talked about the kingdom for 40 days so that they would get it, but they didn't get it. Because he said, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's like, oh, I just talked to you for 40 days. Now this is would be me, or maybe my mother saying to me, I've talked to you for 40 days about that thing. And you still haven't got it. Remember I said last week or the week before about the penny dropping and you put a penny into the machine and it doesn't work? And what do? You just walk away and think, oh, I've lost my pound. If you're a Scotsman or a good Ulster Scots Ballymoney person, you don't do that. You shake it and you kick it and you make sure that the penny does drop. And when the penny drops, then you get your product. Well, Jesus talked to them for 40 days about the kingdom. And this penny still didn't drop. Do you know when the penny dropped? Do you know when the penny truly dropped for the disciples? Truly dropped. When? I'm all excited, but somebody tell me. Hallelujah. Thanks, Marty. Pentecost? Oh, so what happened at Pentecost? Oh, the Spirit came. All right, that's right, we're Pentecostal, forgot all about it. The Spirit came. Not just to give us a message in tongues on a Sunday morning, but to convince the disciples, even after 40 days intense teaching by Jesus himself on the kingdom, they had to receive the kingdom themselves. And how did the kingdom come? Through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Then they were convinced. Then they knew all about the kingdom. Then they knew what it was about. Then they stopped asking questions about, oh, is it time for the kingdom to come? For no, because it's here. Because it's here. How does it come? It comes as we are anointed, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. You'll be my witnesses. You'll walk with me. You'll talk to people. You'll lay hands on the sick. They'll get better. Demons will run. They'll be cast out. Why? Because the kingdom's invading. Do you remember when Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away. And it's better that I go away. And they're saying to themselves, no, it's not better that you go away, Jesus. Please don't go away. But Jesus said, no, it's better for me to go away. Because when I go away, what was he going to do? He's going to send the Comforter. Who is the Comforter? He's the Holy Spirit. So now, in these 40 days, Jesus is teaching them that he's transitioning them from this idea that Jesus is going to be specifically located in a physical place. There is one Jesus. He can't be at this place and that place. He's the man Christ Jesus. He is confined to a location. And Jesus is teaching them. He's saying there's a kingdom. I brought the kingdom. But you know what? It's better that I go away so when the Spirit comes, then the kingdom can come through multitudes of little Jesuses. Can I say that? They were first called Christians at Antioch. What does that mean? Little Christs. People like Christ. And so Jesus says, I'm going away and I'll send the Spirit. And you're sad about that. You say, yeah, well, they're sad about it because he's going to go away. But they didn't get it then. They got it when the Spirit came. When the Holy Spirit came. The kingdom came. It invaded their hearts, their minds, their lives, saturated them. They became kingdom people who extended the kingdom, pushed back boundaries and borders, and ushered in the righteous rule and reign Christ. Wow. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? That sounds exciting. I'm not just on the street giving a tract to somebody. We're bringing in the kingdom. We're exposing people to the kingdom rule of God. How did Jesus teach us to pray? What did he say? Pray like this, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. What's next? Oh, thy kingdom come. See, there's this thing about the kingdom. It has come, but it has not fully come. Yeah? It's come, and it's great, and it's growing, but it hasn't fully come. It will fully come when Jesus comes back again. Fully come. His kingdom will reign from pole to pole. But we are in this transition period. We're in the time when the kingdom has come, but not yet fully come. And yet we are part of it. We are part of God's plan of action to bring in the kingdom. So Jesus says to his disciples in that same period of time, wait in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. What's the right thing to wear as a Christian? You ever think about that? I think pastors should definitely wear a tie or a suit or something better than he's on anyway, whatever it is. But what's the dress code for a Christian? The dress code for a Christian is this. Be clothed with power from on high. That's it. So wait in Jerusalem. And Jesus said it there for the promise of the Father. What's the promise of my Father? The promise of my Father is that you will be filled, saturated, energized, dynamically invaded and changed, transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And when that happens, I'll give you more than enough for yourself. It'll overspill. Because Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And he spoke of the Spirit. Some people say, well, aren't we filled with the Spirit already? Why do we have to keep being filled with the Spirit? Because it's like, well, we're filled already. And we sang it. We don't need another Pentecost, do we? Because we've had Pentecost and so on and so forth. Listen, Martin Lloyd-Jones once said this. He was the greatest preacher of the last century. He says, if we have it all, where on earth is it? If we have all that God has for us, where is it? He asked that question, not me, so blame him. Where is it? How does this happen? How can we be being filled with the Spirit? Well, this is how it happens. As we give, we make room. As we are giving, as we become a channel. I just want to be a drain pipe for Jesus, do you not? Just a channel through whom he can flow and touch people. And that's fresh. You have a pond that's stagnant, that's still, that's not moving. There's water coming in, but there's nothing going out. What happens? It gets stagnant. It starts to stink. All sorts of creepy, crawly, horrible things start to grow there. There's no life. The sun's rays can't penetrate down into the pond. It just becomes a place of death, a swamp. Because there's nothing flowing out. This morning, oh, what has God got ahead for us, even today and this week? The excitement of walking with Jesus. The conversations that we'll have. The contacts that we'll have. Breaking through those glass barriers that are between you and that person in your office or the place that you work with. You know, because you've had the collie wobbles and you've had the butterflies flapping, like, you know, going in your heart, and you've just known that you should talk, but you just can't. Well, this week God's saying you can, and you will, because you want to see the kingdom come. We want to see God's kingdom come. So, folks, let's pray, shall we? Oh, let's open up our heart to God, the Holy Spirit. None of us are anything. We can't do anything without him. We just can't do it. But with him, we can. I want you to think about somebody that you know who doesn't know Jesus. Think about them. Begin to pray for them. I want you to ask the Lord to show you how you can connect with them this week. That might mean you moving out of a routine or a zone. It might mean that you need to sign up for prayer space. It might mean that you need to go and visit someone. Lord will show you. Lord, here we are, your people. We feel weak and inadequate. None of us here are superstars or got it all together. We're just stumbling, weak people who love you, Jesus, and know that you've come to seek and to save the lost. We're asking for a fresh empowering of your Holy Spirit. We're asking you, Lord, to fill us afresh for kingdom service. We're asking you that we would be the people that invade Ballymoney, invade this area, invade the schools, the offices, the workplaces, the leisure places, the highways, the byways. That we would be, amongst other Christians in this town, be raised up to be kingdom people. to know that the kingdom of God advances powerfully. And yet we feel so weak and inadequate. And yet your word says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Lord, we give ourselves to you this morning. Thank you for the week that has gone. Thank you for the salvation on the streets. Oh, it's the beginning, we believe. And we pray that you would give the joy of your Spirit to each person in this room. And Lord, just that holy boldness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. God, grant us the joy of sharing Jesus this week. In your glorious name we pray. Amen.
And your love is great.
To this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.